Got a couple of, well, I guess you'll be the, you'll decide whether how funny they are. Sunday school teacher was discussing the Ten Commandments with her 5 and 6-year-old class. After explaining the commandment to honor thy father and mother, she asked, "Is there a commandment that teaches us how to treat our brothers and sisters?" Without missing a beat, one little boy answered, "Thou shalt not kill." For those of you who have had multiple children, you know how that works. Yes. Another Sunday school class, they were teaching how God created everything, including human beings. A little boy seemed especially intent when they told him how Eve was created out of one of Adam's ribs. Later in the week, his mother noticed him lying down as though he were ill, and she said, "What's the matter?" And he responded, "I have a pain in my side. I think I'm going to have a wife." I really appreciate this section over here. So today I want to look at hope. Where does our hope lie? Where does your hope lie? You know, as you look around this society, our culture today, some people would say, you know, we're evolving. Man, if this is evolution, it's not getting better. It's not getting better. You know, just pick up the paper, look at the news. Things aren't getting better. What I want to look today, though, at hope is a Christian perspective of hope. And what is that difference between we who are believers in Christ, what is our hope, and what is the world's hope? So the word the English vocabulary, normally hope would mean, well, I hope something's going to happen, right? I hope the Seahawks will be better this year. I hope the Mariners may make it to 500, although it's already not looking good, and it's, what, only 2 or 3 games in? Sorry. Oh, there might be hope. So Webster would define it actually in 2 different ways. The cherished desire or anticipation for something that's going to happen, you hope it's true. But then the other definition would be to expect with confidence or trust. Certainty versus uncertainty. So looking at biblical hope, 1 Peter 1:13 says, "Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Hope isn't wishful thinking. It's not, well, I hope it's going to happen, or I hope that doesn't happen. That's absolutely not what is meant by Christian hope. Because we have a hope in a God who promises what's going to happen, that we can put our trust in Him. Christian hope is that confidence. I found it interesting that Lynn mentioned Chuck Colson, because actually I have a quote here by Chuck Colson. If you were around in the, let me see, when would this have been? 70s sometime. Stephen Curtis Chapman, some of you know who that is, if you're old enough. Oh, he's still around, but there was actually a song that he had, and it had this in it, "Where's the Hope?" And Chuck Colson had this quote. He says, "I meet millions who tell me that they feel demoralized by the decay around us." And this is like 20 plus years ago. Where's the hope? The hope that each of us has is not who governs us, or what laws are passed, or what great things that we do as a nation. Our hope is in the power of God working through the hearts of people. And that's where our hope is in this country. That's where our hope is in life. Many times I've thought, as people go through different things, those people who don't know Christ as their Savior, I just think, how do they make it through some of the hard stuff of life? You know, where is their hope? Hope and faith are very closely related. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." The assurance. I'm assured of what's coming because of who God is. And that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. We see that in Romans 10. This implies that hope, like faith, is also strengthened by the Word of God. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatever was written in earlier times," the Scripture, "whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." We might have hope through God's Word. Romans 8:31, 32 says, "If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all on the cross, how will he not also freely in him give us all things?" Jesus Christ was a promise. The resurrection was the stamp on that promise. If God did not even spare his own son, how much more will he take care of us? The essence of what we look to in the Bible to build our hope is what Christ has done for me, for us, in my sinful condition, that enables me to know that I will not come into judgment or in condemnation, and that all things will work together for good for those who are called according to God's purpose. Christ died for me. He rose again. And therefore, all the promises of God are yes in Christ. So we need to look away from our circumstances that confront us, and we need to look to Christ. That's where our hope lies. Hold fast to them. Hope comes from the promise of God rooted in the work of Christ. Billy Graham said, "My hope does not rest in the affairs of this world. It rests in Christ who is coming again." And today, Billy Graham is with Christ. And that hope that he had has been confirmed. As followers of Christ, we know there's hope beyond this life, a glorious hope, something more, something greater than anything we can possibly imagine. No more sorrow, no more pain. Don't need surgeries anymore. Amen? Man, are things wearing out? I mean, if any of you feel like stuff's wearing out, gosh. You know, when you're 30, 40 years old, you think, oh, yeah, man, I can go forever, right? Then you hit 45, 50, and it's like, oh, what's that? There's a new pain. Gosh. But if we're believers in Jesus Christ and we go home to be with him, that's gone. No more pain. We get new bodies. I'm hoping to look better. You know what I mean? You're a little too early to Gary. Come on. I don't look good now? I love having a smaller congregation. I can pick on people. Our sorrows and our problems that we hear, see today, if we're believers in Christ, they're just not the same. Our perspective changes when we see a risen Savior one who provides a way for us to have salvation. And that work that he did on the cross was completed in the resurrection. The resurrection is what we're celebrating today with Easter. You know, it's not bunnies and eggs and chocolate and all that stuff. Easter is the celebration of the resurrection. Luke 24, I'm going to read 1 through 12. This is the resurrection. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothes. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He's risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again?" And they remembered his words. And they returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James. Also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. But Peter, he got up, and he ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings only. And he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. All along, Jesus has been telling them, here's what's going to happen. They still weren't quite totally connecting the dots. And in fact, we're still going to see, they're still going to have some struggles, but it starts to become more and more clear as they see the risen Savior, as he appears back to them. And this resurrection, hope hinges on the resurrection. If there is no resurrection, there is no hope. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 4, the Apostle Paul speaking here. He says, "For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day." The resurrection is the most important truth of the Christian faith. Because without the resurrection, it's all a lie. It's just a story. If Christ is not risen, our faith is useless. Without the resurrection, we might as well forget God. Forget the church, forget the Christian life, because it's all a lie. There was a movie that came out last year. Was it just last year? Of Lee Strobel. And it was about him trying to disprove the resurrection. Because the conversation was, if you want to disprove Christianity, disprove the resurrection. You don't have to go after Jesus. You don't have to go after any of that stuff. Just prove that the resurrection didn't happen. Because that's the hinge. And you know the end of the story. He became a believer in Jesus Christ because he could not disprove the resurrection. The resurrection's real. And from that, we get 3 points. Our sins are forgiven. The Bible makes that clear. Romans 3:23 says, we're all sinners. We inherited that from Adam, the first man. And that the sin then breaks our relationship with the Creator God. But because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, we receive forgiveness. And our relationship can be restored to God. Number 2, death is not the end. Death is not the end. Just as it wasn't the end for Jesus, it won't be the end for us. Death no longer has power over us in a spiritual sense. These bodies will die, but our spirits will not if we've accepted Christ as our Savior. Paul says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? It's now gone because of what Christ did. Number three, how will we live? How we live is important. If we believe in Jesus Christ, if we choose to follow Him, how we live is important. Our priorities change. Our focus changes. The concerns of this world are not so much a concern anymore because our eyes are focused on where we're headed. Our citizenship is now in heaven, and that's where our attention needs to be. Living with our hearts focused on eternity enables us to be more effective in God's business, living out His truth, helping others to see Him. But before all of that, the first thing we need to do, however, is we need to acknowledge and receive the gift of salvation. We need to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, the power of the resurrection. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It really is that simple. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you're saved. If you've never done that, that can happen today. That can happen today. Maybe for the first time, you've come to the realization that the resurrection happened on Easter and it's actually true. Today, you can make that change. You can seek forgiveness from God and believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. And then that's just the beginning, as then you walk out faith in Christ. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you what your Son did there for us. From a human perspective, it's mind-boggling to think of what He went through. To be beaten, to be spit on, to be cursed. In fact, He was beaten, really. He should have died from the beating. Then He's made to carry His cross, and He doesn't even have the strength to do that because of all that has happened to Him. And then they nail Him to the cross, pounding those nails through His body. And He did it willingly. He did it willingly. And Father, you offered Him willingly. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here today that has not made that commitment to follow Jesus Christ, that they would consider Jesus. The best way to find out about Jesus is just to read the Bible. It's not necessarily listening to what someone else has to say or reading some other book, but going directly to God's Word and seeing what God's Word says about Jesus. Father, thank you that there is also the empty tomb, that you showed the power that you had to raise Him from the dead and put that stamp of approval on what He said and what He did, that it is true. Now, Father, I pray that you would help us all to realize the reality of Jesus and what He did, the reality of the resurrection and what it means. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Jesus. Amen.
Pastor Kevin.
Yes, sir.
Pray for my brother Mike Muller. He's a little sick in the house.
All right. We'll do that. Okay, so I need to give you some directions. So here's what's happening. Breakfast is next. You can smell it, right? Just like, really? Shut the doors, turn the fans on. So those of you that have kids, we're going to let you out first. So you can go down, get your kids, and then go through the food line. Everybody else, if you don't have kids, if you can go out kind of the main doors up here, down the stairs, and come in the main double doors downstairs, that will work. Although you might just want to kind of hang out for a while, because you can sit here, you can sit in line. So God bless you all. Have a great week.